the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was about 12 years ago now. It was a member of the first congregation that I served in Yorba Linda, California. A member of that congregation gave Heather and I a car. It was actually an old, it wasn't a car at all, it was a van. It was an old giant green Dodge conversion van with plush bucket seats and a back bench that with the touch of a button would turn into a bed, just like that. It had this track lighting on the inside. And they were looking to get rid of it because they had high school kids, their kids were getting to high school age. They were like, we're looking to let go of this. They actually wanted to pass it. There were three pastors at that church, and my colleague drove this old Astro van with the side view mirror hanging off, and you had to enter from the passenger side, and the air conditioner didn't work. I never wanted to get a ride with him because the car was just a dump. And they were convinced, like, you can't drive cars like that here in Orange County. And so this member wanted to give it to him, actually. And he's like, oh, I got money. I could get another car. Why don't you give it to the Roschkes? They're actually poor, you know, because I had just finished seminary and everything. So they give us this huge conversion van. And at the time they gave it to us, it had, I think, less than like 90,000 miles on it, or maybe about 90,000 miles on it. So it was in really good shape. Tons of space for a little growing family who loves to take driving vacations. And so we accepted it. It was wonderful. We took it all over the place. We drove from California all the way to South Dakota, and we drove all the way out to Texas, and another trip to Colorado, all over California. But as you might imagine, the old van started to show its age. There are all kinds of issues with it. Different things would break or just stop working. I remember one time I was driving in the gas dial, which I knew I had gas. It just decided to give out. It was like, woo, just stayed permanently at empty. So we had to watch the mileage in order to know when to fill it up. We just kind of lived with that. One day I was out on the open road in West Texas, and cruise control just decided to give up. So the car started slowing down. I just put my foot on the gas, and we were back. But the cruise control never worked again. And one other day, I got back home. Just a normal day, pulled into the driveway of our house in San Diego, and pulled this little black T-shaped handle, you know, because the driveway is a little bit on a tilt, and this T-shaped handle breaks, and I'm like, oh, what is this? I look at it, and in white words, it says emergency brake. So it was just the handle, so we just kept living with it, but you just have to grab the whole shaft. I put like some tape around it, so you just grab the shaft every time you need to pull the emergency brake, but I brought it in, I remember, and showed it to Heather, and I was like, should we be concerned about this emergency brake handle breaking off? Today's gospel text in the story of Lazarus and the rich man reminds me a little bit of the Charles Dickens story. Did you think about that as I was reading that story? And he says, let me go back and warn my brothers. It reminds me a little bit of the Christmas Carol. The Scrooge and the poor, and the similar idea of this radical reversal of fortunes in the afterlife. Remember Jacob Marley, Scrooge's old friend, business partner, shows back up, and he warns him of the chains of punishment for his self-centered, money-hungry actions. Except the difference is here, actually, in the story that Jesus tells, there's not much mercy for him at the end. It's kind of a harsh story. The poor man goes to heaven, the rich man, well, he doesn't reach heaven. And we can walk away from it wondering, well, what about this God of love and grace that we always talk about? Where is that in this text? Where's the mercy, this God of mercy that we're always talking about? Maybe some of you are wondering, okay, what does this have to do with the conversion van and the emergency brake? And the answer is actually pretty easy. You see, friends in Christ, stories like this are emergency brakes. These tough stories that we hear today, it's like the emergency brake. And sometimes that brake can break off. Prophets like Amos and Timothy, who we read also from today, they're like emergency brakes. Go back and read them again today. Take your bulletin home with you. They can stop us from going out of control, from breaking the emergency brake. These lessons can stop us from losing the ability to hold back. They help us to slow down and even stop, losing the ability to remember whose we are and who God is in all this. We come to church every Sunday. We come to church to use our emergency brakes. Starting always at the baptismal font, as we did again this Sunday. Being challenged by this word and all kinds of words in this holy book. Being fed by the body of Christ at this manger table. We're not just passively being reminded of something nice or maybe today a little bit challenging. We are actively taking part in God's gifts. The image and the sounds of an emergency brake, they're graphic. You know, when you pull the emergency brake, if you have a conversion van like we once did, it goes, you know, when you pull that up. It's graphic. It's something that almost has this bite to it. They screech and grind and snap. It's much more vivid today than just a gentle, passive reception of the Word of God, Word of life. Thanks be to God, we all say. Friends, we can go out of control when we reject God's gifts, when we break the brakes. And among God's gifts is this stark message that we need to come to a halt, pull back, and remember that God is God. Every Sunday we say the prayer, Our Father in Heaven. It's a bold statement of faith right there, just that much. Our Father in Heaven, in other words, that God is above all of it. That God is God, not us. And stories like these, bold admonitions like these, emergency breaks like these, grinding halts, they're not actually threats. It might sound like that at first, but they're actually gifts. Even if they are a little abrasive and graphic, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The gift of this gospel text, the grinding, is that God wants desperately to release you from the clutch of greed, from the death grip of fear. Is there a death grip of fear that you have? Are you hanging on? God longs to free us from our things, from our desires, from our fears, from our money as well. Remember Jesus mourning over the rich man, how hard it is, he says, for the rich. How hard it is. Friends in Christ, God frees us from sin and death, from eternal damnation through the gift of grace. Let me say that again. God frees us from sin and death, from hell. That's a powerful word, and I was reminded of that again in our adult study. You are not going to hell. That needs to be said in our churches more. Because I think it's been used to hang over people's heads for a long time, to control people, this fearful thing. You are not going to hell. No matter what you've done in your life, our God is a God of grace and mercy. God frees us from sin and death, from eternal damnation through the gift of grace, through the work of Christ. But how God longs as well to free us also from the grip that we have on our things, on our money, on our stuff, on our desires. Our earthly things give us some sense of security. But in the end, we're reminded in the texts today, they're just things, just money. It will all finally rust and decay. So I've been doing a lot of thinking and praying this week about talking about tithing. I've been doing some thinking and praying about talking about tithing. When I say tithing, let me be clear. I mean taking 10% of my income and giving it up to God, which biblically means offering it up to wherever I worship regularly. I lost sleep this week just thinking about that, worrying my heart over stewardship and wondering about, what if I just ask everyone to tithe? Just start tithing. Not to consider tithing or to think maybe increase a percentage point or two in your giving this year with the hopes of maybe getting a little higher next year. Just go, what some say, cold turkey tithing. Just do it. usually we talk about in stewardship campaigns, you know, increase a little bit. And studies show you never get there. You just go a little bit, a little bit. Just go cold turkey. I've been thinking about asking everyone to just go the whole nine yards. And I really wish I was preaching this in a different congregation. Or that a different pastor was saying this here. Because I realize how this might be perceived. For a pastor to preach about tithing in her or his home church, it can be perceived as the pastor campaigning for more funds. Even for more money for themselves. I mean, there's a way that we can go there. Oh yeah, of course you want more money. It's not about me, and I wish I was saying it somewhere else, or someone was saying it here, but here we have this text today, and I feel like it just has to be said. I've wondered if maybe that's happened before, where we swap pulpits in October during stewardship time. Please, please, don't hear this as fundraising, because that's something totally different. That's about, we've got a gap, we need to raise money, we need to pay the bills. This is not fundraising, what I'm saying here. Please don't hear that I'm asking you to tithe so that we can pay the bills. Please don't be another one of those church members, too, that tells their friends this week out in the world that they're not coming back to this church because all we do is ask for money. That's not what I'm doing either. I'm not asking for money. Offering 10% at your home worshiping community with no strings attached. Everything we give money to always has strings attached. If you go out to eat afterwards, there's a string attached to that. That's where you're putting your money, and you've got to vote there. This isn't about that. This is joyfully letting go of what God has done for you at your home worshiping community. If you're not a member of this church, go back to your home church and do this there. Offering 10% at your home worshiping community with no strings attached is a deeply spiritual and worshipful practice. Some of you know that. We have tithers here and tithers around the nation. The whole definition of worship is offering our whole selves up to God. We do that with our music, our children, we bring our gifts, we take care of each other. That's putting ourselves out there. And this is another way that that can happen, offering ourselves up to God. This is the emergency brake, friends. That grinding, that pulling back. And it's a gift. We're not just passively being reminded today of something nice, a little bit challenging at church. We are actively taking part in God's gifts when we bring our gifts, which were never ours in the first place, of course. I had a worship professor who used to say, every worship service is preparing us for death. And he meant that in a good way. Preparing us for a good death, being able to die like when Luther died, his famous words on his deathbed, in the end, we're all beggars. Every worship service is coming before God and realizing that everything we have is a gift. Our money is so important to us. We withhold it and send messages with it all the time, right? Give to this campaign, give to this restaurant, give to this church, give to this program. We do it here in the church too. But so often we forget that it was never ours in the first place. One pastor, when asked if she was a tither, responded, I am, because then I know I'm getting at least 10% of my giving right. Friends in Christ, followers in Christ, let's tithe together. Let's talk about it too. That's a tough thing to do. People are more open to talking about intimacy than they are about money and tithing and faith. Let's pray for the faithfulness, too, to celebrate as we watch our surplus then flow right out of these doors. Because I guarantee if we all tithe, there will be more than enough. And our surplus will flow right out of these doors and serve the needs of the community and the world. In other words, the Lazaruses at our gates. There are so many of those. Our hymn of the day that we're about to sing is called, the last verse says, called by worship to your service, forth in your dear name we go, to the child, the youth, the aged, love in living deeds to show. We go right out the door. There's the story of Ivan the Terrible, the medieval Russian conqueror. It's a legend. He had his troops, did you know this? He had his troops baptized with their swords up in the air. So they were all baptized with the exception of their swords. I wonder about that with our AK-47s too. I'm all yours, God, except this weapon that I'm going to use to wipe out my opponent. That's a powerful image, and I wonder if maybe we can do that with our wallets, our credit cards, our investment portfolios. Maybe I'll drop a few dollars in this baptismal font, but that's it. I'll just give in other ways. Maybe we should have a ceremony later this month where we bless, even throw a little baptismal water on our wallets and get some water stains on that leather, just as a reminder. The truth is we can all tithe. Studies actually show that the more faithful tithers usually have the lowest incomes. I don't know what that's about. But Jesus says how hard it will be for those who are rich. So I like to try in my preaching to approximate the mood or the tone of whatever lesson I'm preaching on. And I think there's a sort of a screech, a sort of grinding to this text that we have before us here today. I pray that I'm doing that here with this bold, with this bold request, this bold invitation. Hey, let's tithe together. I pray that I'm doing that and being faithful to this text in a season of stewardship. I think Jesus is calling us out, calling us to a grinding halt. And while at first glance it seems a threat or a burden, ultimately this is a gift. Tithing is a gift and not a burden. It's not a gift to the church, it's a gift to you. I've tried to figure out ways in my ministry to say this. You should tithe. You're welcome. It's a gift. Do it. Let go. It's a way of joyfully releasing all that we have as a sign of God's love for us. Freedom from what we think is ours. The gift is a surrender to a loving God who promises to hold us always, like Lazarus. To hold us always, like Lazarus. To wrap us in loving arms and take us home. God forgives us constantly. And our worship, that is our offering ourselves to God, is a way to acknowledge that we accept God's embrace, that God's love and forgiveness is truly ours. May that grinding grace go with you now, protecting you, enlivening you, and freeing you to live generously and confidently in this world and always. In Jesus' name, amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.